Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You might know these words from Joshua at the very end of his life. He says, my family after me is going to continue to serve the Lord. That's the track we are on. That's the track we are going to be on. Joshua was Moses' assistant. As they came out of Egypt and as the waters parted, Joshua would be the one who would help Moses in carrying out the will of God out in the wilderness. And in Deuteronomy 34, we find out that God says to Moses, you're not going into the land of promise. You are going to die before you get to that land. I'll let you see it from the hills, but then you are going to die. And so Moses dies, and then he is buried. And Joshua is the one who takes him into the promised land, the one who leads them to take the land that God had given to them. And now we're at the end of another generation, a generation where the people have now enjoyed the blessings for a good long time and may be starting to simply take them for granted. Everything that I have, I need. And they forget who is the one who is the giver. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says there are people who are tugged in all sorts of different directions, who go all sorts of different ways. And it is true for us as well. We certainly don't hear much about God and about Jesus, about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our daily lives. There may be times when we talk with fellow Christians, when we read the scriptures, but most of the time we live our lives just like anyone else does, and we can take for granted all of the amazing things that go on. The amazing things about our health and about the natural world in which we live and all the blessings that come to us, the way in which God keeps all of his promises. But there are also those times when we can look around and say, things are not everything I want. And then we can begin to grumble and gripe and complain as others have done in the past and wish for more and wish for different things. And Joshua recognizes that's going on. Maybe about 1,200 years before Christ, 200 years before the time of King David, they had been in the land for a while, and now come the challenges. We want more. You start with nothing, and all of a sudden have a lot, and yet still wish for more. When Joshua says, we will serve the Lord, he reminds them all of the blessings that God has given to them, that God had brought them out of the bondage that they were in Egypt, that he had brought them through the wilderness, that he had brought them into the land, and that now their parents and some of them had enjoyed those blessings. And so, in many ways, this is a, you're always wrapped within the grace and mercy of God kind of a speech. But that's not really enough. It's not just enough to enjoy the benefits of God in the creation. And that's why our Lord moves in the Gospel of John to say there is more than simply enjoying the created world that God gives. It is not enough just to take advantage of all the things that we have here and to say thank you for them, for we realize that our relationship with God is also at stake. And Joshua could not tell it, even though his name is the same name as Jesus later carries. He couldn't understand the fullness, at least he didn't talk about the fullness of what finally would have to happen on this earth, a fullness to bring all of the blessings of God to all of us. It's not enough for God to be outside of the Garden of Eden, taking care of the people of Israel in the land of Canaan. He wants us all back. He wants us all to be in his household forever. And so as Joshua points forward to it, as he says, in the future, God will take care of us, we find our Lord saying that to be taken care of is more than just to enjoy the benefits of the first article. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. But also to enjoy the benefits of his salvation, of what he has given us as the Lord comes to suffer and die. We are reminded we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so in the Gospel of John, the Word is made flesh and dwells among us. And our Lord, in essence, in this very, very puzzling section in the Gospel of John, lets us know that finally, the full benefits of life are not just in the things we have in the here and now, but the things that we have to be in peace with him forever. How can we completely be at peace? Not just hoping we try to live our life the right way and that God will bless us. And so our Lord says that he is going to lay down his life, that his flesh and his blood will become a sacrifice. If you go back into Leviticus 1-7, you'll find out that sacrifices were of two major types. The one kind of sacrifice, God, I have sinned against you. The whole burnt offering, when the entire offering was burned and none of it was kept. But there was also a thanksgiving offering. God, thank you for providing your blessings for me. And that one the people were able to participate in. Now comes Jesus, saying that in essence, he's the final sum total offerer who is giving his life for both of those. The animal died either way. But not only does our Lord give himself over as if he were a holocaust, a whole burnt offering, to die for the sins of every human being and to be punished and lose his life instead of everyone else's. But he also is the offering of thanksgiving. And he says, I give you my body and my blood. I give you my flesh and my blood, which is offered for you so that you can celebrate the joy and the benefits of a banquet that will last forever in the presence of God himself. I and the Father are one, and the Father has sent me to bring all of you home. That word, that message, never gets old for me. When Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, it means that in my household, we will continue to hear about God's great gifts of delivering us from bondage in Egypt. And now, our Lord says that he gives us his own self in the good news that we hear and in his body and blood to be fed and strengthened, to know that more than anything else about us, we know that we are at peace with God. Kathy and I celebrated our 45th anniversary yesterday. And I trust and I believe that the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God is what has continued to help us be healed and restored in our physical challenges that we have had, and continue to help us to love and care for each other. It is the grace of God that says, I work in your hearts to help you love each other and to help you look out beyond yourselves to care for others around you. And that's true for every single one of us, no matter what our position or circumstance in life. But Joshua reminds us that to be wrapped into that grace and mercy of God is something that we get to celebrate as a Christian community now, and that he gives us the strength and peace to settle our hearts and to help us go forward each day until we're welcomed fully into that age to come. And so we lift our eyes and our sights to him, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and suffered the shame, that he might welcome us back into his presence forever. And we get to live that out and celebrate that already now, for we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the ones who benefit from him having laid down his life as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and strengthens us for our life of service to him. May he give us peace and joy and hope each day and let us know that we're not alone in this world, but that both for the creation and for the redemption, he has made us into a Christian family. We can encourage each other and love each other and care for each other and seek to reach out with that good news throughout our lives and our joyful journey on this earth. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.